Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
And welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune and frequent score contributor. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, picking up the pieces still from the Vikings 30-27 overtime win against the Bears. Parker Romo with the 29-yard field goal, an incredibly eventful day. And I look at this game, Dan, and you know, usually we're able to come up with a lot of redeeming from these Bears games, and there just wasn't much because special teams was bad, defense was bad because they allowed big plays. The offense had its bumps and bruises too, the 4th and 4, which we've talked about, and just all sorts of communication issues that continue to exist. So it's getting worse, in other words, except for some throws by Caleb Williams.
Which no question, and there were definitely some bright spots from the offense, but the dustpans aren't big enough around here to pick up all the pieces that need to be picked up. And that's part of what we've been experiencing here now for 5 straight weeks and watching this team lose in various ways. And Grody, I got to tell you, the thing that bothered me most in doing some of the rewatch on Monday was seeing a defense that still isn't meeting the moments consistently enough. You get into that overtime period, and even though the offense goes 3 and out and it's on its first possession, you won the coin flip. So if you can get a stop on defense, you can go ahead and get the ball back for Caleb Williams and the boys to go lead a game-winning drive. And what does the defense do? They get a sack on their very first play of overtime, and then 3 times the Vikings are behind the chains in overtime. It's a sack by Montez Sweat. There's a false start. There's a holding penalty. And all 3 times, Sam Darnold gets them out of those holes. They don't go to 3rd down after the 3rd down and 10 completion to Jordan Addison. And the defense, once again, withers in a big moment. And between the Washington failure, the Green Bay failure, and then Sunday's failure in overtime against the Vikings, you're seeing a unit that isn't living up to its reputation as one of the vaunted defenses in the NFL. And it's part of the reason that you're at 4-7 and facing a really, really gross reflection in the mirror.
There is no doubt about it. The defense, you know, it was fun to say they were bending and not breaking, because that's defense in the NFL in 2024, but they are breaking now, and that's a problem. Just giving up gargantuan plays where, and you kind of felt it coming too many times. You watch the formations that the Vikings were in, you would watch it from our vantage point in the press box, and you would see it unfolding, and you would actually see the breakdowns for the Bears. And we'll get to more of that here in a second too, but let's really get this thing going in earnest with our opening drive.
It's time for the opening drive.
Dan, I think for the opening drive, we should talk a little bit about, and we'll play some of the audio here today, but the mood at Hallis Hall, I guess, Dan, because I know you like adjectives and you describe words well, because that's what you do for a living. You write, and you're a good writer. But it was moody today in that room with Flus, DJ Moore, Jalen Johnson. It was dark and it was moody. It was scary, quite frankly, at the Hall today.
Particularly as it relates to number one, I described it as curt. That's a four-letter word that we're not using as a name here. It was a curt session with Jalen Johnson. And listen, like Jalen Johnson's 25 years old, experiencing for the 5th year in a row professional disappointment that is really, really astounding in its repetitiveness. And so I give him the benefit of the doubt for the agitation he's feeling. At the same time, as a team captain, like, you know, there's a certain face you have to wear and a certain voice you have to bring. And you're in a short week now. And it's time to flip the page quickly and put some of this stuff behind you. I think the hard part here, Grody, is when you talk about a defense that's unraveling and a team that's season is circling the drain here, you're going to find it harder and harder for these players to muster up the motivation and inspiration that they need, because the season, for all intents and purposes, is gone. It's in the rearview mirror. It's vanished. And now you have to go and play the best team in the NFC on a very short week at their place. And good luck with all that, right? And so that's where we are with this Bears team. And you can understand why some of that despondency and dejection is now leading to some of that outward aggravation that we experienced today.
So the Bears obviously are in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. Check this out. On Jalen Johnson's watch, since he's been with the Bears, 5-gamer right now. They opened the season last year at 0-4, so that's devastating losing streak, which essentially led to a bad season for the Bears. Of course, in 2022, you had the whopper. You had a 10-game losing streek, yes. Do you remember the losing streak in 2021? Do you remember what that was here, Dan, for quizzing Weeder?
Was that the 6-gamer or was that the 5-gamer?
That was the 5-gamer. 2021, you had a 5-gamer.
2020 was the 6-gamer.
2020 was the
because 2020 was the 6-game losing streak that George McCaskey was proud that they showed so much pride in handling.
Right. We're proud, and that's why everybody's good, and we're all happy, and everything is punky dory. So, with that in mind, and I think Jalen Johnson is feeling the weight of that. He is feeling the weight of being a Bear and not going anywhere anytime soon either. Here is Jalen Johnson on all of that.
You've been here for a while. You've seen things at Lowe's. Is there something different about this one?
No, not at all. I mean, like I said, I don't do all the hopes and dreams and all that. At the end of the day, like I've been saying for a very long time, we got to win on Sunday. So, I mean, right now we're in a slump. I've been in slumps 4 or 5 years in a row now. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't look for, okay, what's going to be better in the future? God damn it, it'll be better when it's better. So, I mean, right now it's not better. That's all I can go off of.
Does the way Caleb Williams has been playing the last 2 weeks, I know you say you don't look into that hope, but does that kind of give you a sense of hope in a way?
Hope for what?
Potentially better.
I mean, at the end of the day, he can't win the damn game by himself. So it's not about Caleb. It's not. I mean, of course, we need and want him to play good. We need and want everybody to play good. So him having a good performance for 2 weeks straight doesn't give me hope for the future because we all got to win. It takes all 11 guys on the field to win.
That was the tone. I mean, I thought that was a perfect example of the way DJ Moore was today. Just in a bad mood. Nothing personal with reporters. It's just he was pissed off, man.
Yeah, Jalen was angry today. And even when you asked him about specific plays, it was like he didn't even want to entertain the idea of providing answers on why they went so haywire. And like the one play I talked about overtime a little bit ago that bothered me is it's 3rd and 10 on that first session of overtime, and you give Jordan Addison a 9-yard cushion and the ability to run a route basically to the sticks and then catch it and run for 4 more yards without being touched and without really being defended. And some of that is like, what are we doing? And Matt Eberflus tells you on Monday that it was one of their bread and butter calls and something that they liked. It came immediately following a timeout. And then that's what happens, right? And so, like, Grody, it's just like when Jalen is feeling this deja blue, as we call it around here right. At LSL.
That's our water, folks.
You and I are feeling it, too. And, like, you walk into this building today as a reporter, and you're just like, man, like, how much more of this can you experience before it gets, like, really, really old, you know? And so that's where we're at. The dejection is obvious. The aggravation is obvious. You heard it in Jalen's tone today, and then you heard it in DJ Moore's tone, and then Matt tried to put a positive spin on it. But this is who the Bears are, 4-7, 4 games out of third place in the NFC North, a last place football team going nowhere fast and headed for an imminent reboot. And so, you know, buckle in.
Jordan Addison, 8 catches, 162 yards. Last week, Christian Watson, 4 catches, 150 yards. I mean, like the secondary is, that's what I'm saying. Like the redeeming factors are starting to slump for sure. And Dan, I think I have your questions in here to Jalen Johnson. So I want to play this, and then we're going to play a quick edition of Does This Answer Please You? Because we know that Weedsy likes to be pleased. So we're going to hear Jalen Johnson, and this specifically is about the crunch time issues that you just referred to. So here's Jalen Johnson again.
And the defense missed opportunities in Washington and Green Bay to close out games.
Yeah, correct.
You had a chance to get a stop in overtime and didn't get it. What has to happen to get that defense in the mentality of season games that are there for
it's
you?
Not a mentality. It's just strictly execution. At the end of the day, you got to find ways to get put in the right position and then ways to execute. So I know for me and myself too. I had a bang play, missed the third down. I could have got us off the field. Stuff like that. I mean, there's nothing. That's not a mindset. That's not anything else outside of simply just not getting the ball out. So I mean, for different reasons, we find ways to not execute when it counts. And I mean, we just got to figure out a way, whether it's physically, mentally, whatever it is, we got to get put in the right position, but we got to execute.
In the overtime, that was a third and 10 where Addison was on your side and then kind of motioned out, and there was a cushion over there. What was your vision on that play and what happened there?
My vision was on number 18, covering him the best way I could on that play. That was my vision.
Did you get explanation from the officials on the PI calls?
The first one, he said, I grabbed his jersey. Which, again, I'm not saying that I didn't. I don't think it was enough to impede his progress on getting to the ball. And, again, as he's pushing off of me, I don't see it as me just impeding his progress to the ball. But he called it. The second one, again, I was in position. We made contact at the top of the route. He said I knocked him off balance. Of course, he was going to get knocked off balance. That's running into each other. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the call didn't go my way. They have their reasons for calling it, and it is what it is.
You talked about being put in the right position to make plays and then executing plays. Are you guys being put in the right position to make plays?
Yeah, for the most part, the game's never perfect. So, I mean, there's times where we can get put in better position at certain times of the game. But, I mean, for the most part, it's on us to execute.
I do think the interference calls were legit, and that's as close as you'll get DJ Moore to agreeing to it because he didn't seem too effusive or too angry. What did I say? Jalen Jones again? I've been doing that all day for something.
You said DJ Moore.
What? I think I need a break too, man. I don't know what's going on. Dan, did that answer please you? Were you pleased with the answer that you just received there from your question to Jalen Johnson?
I got to be honest with you. I wasn't really pleased with many of the answers I got here today because it's
great.
We're doing the same song.
Scott, he's not pleased. A leader, our leader is not pleased.
Was it good to see? I guess, but I wasn't pleased. look, like, the Addison play is one. The other one that came up a couple times today is the Aaron Jones catch for 14 yards from Nick Mullins on 3rd and 13, which we talked about after the game on Sunday. It would please me if the Bears defense occasionally would get a stop when there's a big moment that's facing them. And then we could end this losing streak before it reaches 50 days and before we get into a mode of like trying to unpack what the largest scale of reboot needs to be inside the building here. That would please me. It would please me if I didn't have to fear my Friday after Thanksgiving being a day where people are going to be fired and I'm going to stop everything I'm doing to follow that. It would please me if my January wasn't being aligned to go into my fourth or fifth coaching search. I lose track. You know, it happens every 3 to 4 years, 2 years every now and again. That would please me, Grody. And right now, it's just, this is an organization that continues to find ways to lose. What bothered me Sunday night and again through Monday morning is that there are a lot of years where you have to do like a Simone Biles like gymnastics routine mentally to convince yourself that the Bears are close. Well, I think this team is close, and that if they had more competence in their leadership from above, if they had more competence in their play when the game's on the line, if they had more opportunity to execute at a high level when they had a chance to win football games, you could see this team being 7-4. And if this team was 7-4 and going into Thanksgiving to play Detroit, this entire week would feel different. This entire season would feel different. The tone that Jalen Johnson would give to us would feel different. Instead, here we are in the same old song and dance. I'm not pleased. You're not pleased. We can't get names right. And off we go.
We're going to hear from DJ Moore in a second, but you brought up Simone Biles. One thing that really pissed me off in that game yesterday was after the Jonathan Owens, who is the husband of her, forces the fumble, makes the play right there, and then the Bears offense had one of their worst drives after that. I believe there was a Keenan Allen drop, Dan, I think, in there. Stalled badly. I mean, that's what I know everybody's sick and tired of hearing about complimentary football from Matt Eberflus, but there's your opportunity. And I get it that they were pretty backed up on that play, but that's a moment. That's a moment right there. Who would have thunk it? I mean, Jonathan Owens does not get a lot of playing time. He's obviously in there because Elijah Hicks is out, makes a play, and then the offense just looked ridiculous on that drive.
two Simone Biles footnotes for the Take the North audience. Simone Biles Rising on Netflix. Great little documentary. We're halfway through it. My wife and I at home. Really, really a good watch there. I would recommend that. Also, Simone Biles walked through the media horde as we were waiting outside the locker room yesterday to get in for post-game interviews. Good Lord, is she short?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see her yesterday, but I have seen her before. Yeah, no, she is what I like to call gymnast height. Metal gymnast height. That is
no doubt about
is.
It. So that, there's that. But to your point, after the Jonathan Owens forced fumble and recovery, by the way, on former teammate Aaron Jones, those two were paired together with the Packers last year. The Bears got it out to the 27-yard line and ended up punting. There was a Keenan Allen little short pass to the left that he caught and then had stripped from him, loss of four, ended up punting the football there. Couldn't get it going, and that was that. Yesterday was, Mark, if you're looking for a little silver lining, the first time all season that the Bears scored first. 7-0 lead in the first quarter.
I swear to God, I almost forgot about that.
And then they were outscored 24-3 for a long stretch in the middle of that game.
Pretty pathetic. Before we get to Dan's going to break down QB1 and Caleb Williams here in just a second, but let's hear from DJ Moore since I mentioned him errantly a couple of minutes ago. So let me set this one up. The Bears had the blown 4th-and-4 in the third quarter. The Bears were trailing 17-10 at the time, incomplete to Keenan Allen. There was confusion with Cairo Santos starting to come out on the field before he was pulled back. Then Caleb Williams, just to make things even more comical for that play, misheard the play call from Thomas Brown. He completely owned that yesterday at the podium. Here, then, is the follow-up question to all of that, I believe, from our guy, Weederer, once again.
To have those moments in a game you lose by 3 in overtime as a player, what's the level of frustration of having just a bout of confusion derail you on a drive that could make the difference in the game?
I mean, the game comes down to the team that makes the least mistakes, and we had, I think we had like 7 penalties, and I mean, that's mistakes that add up into hidden yards, and we can't have that.
How do you, as a veteran player who is going to be, in theory, going to be here for a long time, how are you keeping this all in perspective this season in terms of keeping your head up, all that kind of stuff? Because you got to be frustrated.
You could be frustrated, but you know, you still gotta play the next week, and it's any given Sunday. And our Sundays lately have been in the favor of the other team, which we need to turn that around on this short week. So that's all I'm looking forward to.
What toll does the losing take on you?
I mean, it takes a toll. You never want to go in a losing slump, and once you get out of it, you never want to get off that high of winning. So we got to figure out a way to win.
And then how daunting is it then when you wake up today and you know after another tough, dramatic loss yesterday, you got a game Thursday and it's a scramble to that day, basically?
Yeah, we just got to be professionals right now. Can't dwell on this loss because you got Detroit, and you know they're going to bring their A game, so we got to get ready to bring ours on this short week.
Is it just me, Dan? Can you tell me if you agree with this or not? DJ Moore's tone has changed a little bit. Like, it seems like he's not being as, I don't know if forthright is the right word, but he's biting his tongue a little bit more for the last couple of weeks since all the players were coming out, and I think they were told to clam it up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, because there have been moments where DJ's been pretty frank and forthright. I think it's kind of case by case with the questions and the day and the time and whenever we get them. DJ's notoriously or renowned, I don't know which word is more proper in this regard, for short answers, you know, getting about like 15 word answers. And then I always joke that Mully and Awe, who have him every Monday on the Score, have to have about 75 questions ready for a 20 minute segment. And there are times where you're like, man, like they are deep down the well of questions to ask, because DJ's pretty quick to the point, on to the next thing.
And quite frankly, a little tired probably when he's on the morning show. We're all a little bit tired when we're on the morning show.
No question about it. I will say this, and we'll get into the quarterback in a minute, but DJ's game yesterday, some of the plays that he makes with the football in his hands, you love the fact that Thomas Brown has found a way to make that a priority the last 2 weeks, right? This is a guy that you've invested in. You know, I said to DJ this afternoon that you're going to have five more seasons under contract with the Chicago Bears here. Like, there's a
you're
long
stuck here, pal.
Road here. Yeah, like,
now you can't leave.
Yeah, but like, if you're going to sign up a guy for that length of time in your building, you better make him a priority in your offense. And some of the things they've been able to do the last few weeks of getting him free, getting him the ball in space with room to run has been pleasant. Had a 37-yarder yesterday on a pass he caught a yard behind the line of scrimmage.
That was him,
and then
man.
Got into space.
Yeah.
And Tevin Jenkins, your guy, Tevin Jenkins, got out in space and was sprinting. And at the end of that play, 30-some yards downfield, he puts a shot on Harrison Smith, which is one of those that I think you would show in the film room and say, guys, like, this is the type of effort we need at all times. But as it relates to DJ, really good to see him get unlocked a little bit these last couple weeks with Thomas Brown as the guy at the controls.
Nobody follows blockers better than DJ Moore. It's almost like sometimes he comes to a complete stop, just how slowly he moves up on him, Dan, even on the five-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they just a little screen to him, and he just sort of got lost in between the blockers and the defenders. I mean, I love the way they used him yesterday. That was the way they used him yesterday was perfect at this point in the season. Let DJ create, and then the 27-yard play, then he can do that too.
That game was so wild yesterday, and I know you were at DJ's locker with me after the game, that DJ forgot that he scored a touchdown in the game. You know, I asked him about the touchdown catch, and he said, what touchdown? I'm like, the one you scored in the fourth quarter, you know, to cut into the lead and give you guys an opportunity to win. He also had a two-point conversion in the game as well. So there are some things, like, coming together on the offensive side of the ball that are encouraging. It's just because it's Halas Hall, it has to be coinciding with a defense that's going the wrong direction in every way, shape, and form, and you're just like, why does nothing ever marry up here inside this building where timing is always off across the board?
Caleb Williams had some nice moments yesterday. That's it. Let's get to our QB1 segment here on Take the North.
All right, Grody, we'll go rapid fire here through our QB1 categories. Week 12, Caleb Williams, 340 passing yards, a couple of touchdowns. Really nice day for the rookie against a challenging Vikings defense. My defining moment from Sunday afternoon is everyone's defining moment from Sunday afternoon. You recover an onside kick. The quarterback gets back in the huddle with his adrenaline pumping and his juices flowing, and he rips that 27-yard layered fastball over the middle to DJ Moore to put him in range for Cairo Santos's game tying field goal. DJ Moore tells us today that during the practice week, the ball never came to him on that concept. It came to him when it mattered, and DJ made a great catch. I watched it about 40 times between Sunday night and Monday morning. That ball's got juice on it, and the way DJ jumped to catch it and then sort of like recoiled when the ball hit him made it look like the ball had more juice than it actually had. It
was
like a cartoon
watching
that unfold, and then for DJ to hit the ground, you know, put the ball down on the hash and get everybody lined up to go. There is no bigger defining moment than that for Caleb Williams, who has shown over the last 5 weeks an ability to rise up in the fourth quarter, put the offense on his back, lead these drives. That's the belief you're trying to create. Eventually, God willing, it will result in a victory, and everyone will have a week-long party about the victory that Caleb Williams produced with his fourth quarter and overtime play. Yesterday it was just a footnote on another jaw-dropping loss.
I'll just add this. One other thing that DJ Moore said about that play yesterday, kind of snuck it in. He said, I don't know many that could have made that play. And we know, and if you listen to this podcast, Take the North, you know that DJ Moore is not prone to hyperbole. He is going to be honest. He's not going to say things that he does not think are true. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about their chemistry, their relationship. He knows that Caleb Williams is the goods. What you got next, Dan?
Well, just before I get on the next category, you know I do the emoji review on social media of Caleb's performances.
Yes.
There were 7 star power plays made in Sunday's game. That was a really, really encouraging thing to see, including a fourth down scramble in which he eluded a rush, skipped over a guy in traffic in the pocket, got outside, got the first down. Soldier Field came alive. A lot of really good things to see on the tape. My uh-oh moment in general for the Bears offense on Sunday afternoon is one we've talked about ad nauseum now, both today and after the game on Sunday. It's 4th and 4 It's the fact that the Bears didn't know what they were doing in that situation. They get a five-yard completion. They go from the 32 to the 27. They don't know whether they're going to kick the field goal or whether they're going to go for it. Everyone seems to be confused by the confusion, and it leads to a rushed snap, which leads to a rushed throw, which leads to an incomplete pass and a turnover on downs on a key possession in a game you lost by 3 points in overtime. This stuff can't keep happening. I don't know what more to say, but this stuff can't keep happening.
Yeah, it's ridiculous and it's glaring, and I still don't know what the exact. I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing from Richard Hightower, special teams coach Matt Eberflus. I don't know if you heard anything beyond this from Matt Eberflus, Dan, but he said, "quote I may have been slow to communicate or something to that effect."
It's just like my question is like, were they going to kick the field goal had it been an incomplete pass, right? And so now you're facing 4th and 9 instead of 4th and 4, and now you're going to try the 50-yard kick instead of the 45-yard kick. Either way, you got to have your S together, you know, and it's got to be in sync. And when it's not, there are huge, huge ramifications. The Bears suffered the huge ramifications on Sunday. It's just, again, like we're just leading up to an inevitability here, and it's a reboot here. It's the imminent reboot here at Ellis Hall, and the question that you and I have to answer is how far will it go? But these types of blunders in big moments of big losses are going to be what costs Matt Eberflus' job. It's a shame. It's unfortunate. It's reality.
Dan, take us to the bright side.
All right, the bright side. Quarterback is growing. People are noticing. One of the things we didn't talk about Sunday evening was the high praise that both Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell had in the opposite side of Soldier Field for the way Caleb Williams played. Those guys were truly impressed. You saw Kevin O'Connell pull Caleb Williams in on the field after the game ended, whisper in his ear for about, 50 seconds, if not longer. And Caleb kind of recounted after the game that it was a message of encouragement, keep going, and appreciation for what he did in that game. And Kevin O'Connell basically saying, like, I'm a little terrified to face you twice a year.
Yeah.
Because you caused me some issues. And I rewatched the TV copy on Monday morning. And when the Bears forced the overtime after that 27-yard throw that we talked to DJ Moore, to see the look on Kevin O'Connell's face, it was like, holy cow. I can't believe we just got caught up in that buzzsaw. You hope it's an actual buzzsaw and not just this flash that is a tease for Bears fans who have been teased all too often. But it really does feel like there's some genuine admiration from opponents and around the league for some of the things that Caleb Williams is showing now, just 11 starts into his career.
I love that kind of stuff. And again, I think I can tell when it's genuine, and it did seem, with the example you just gave, it seemed genuine from, and how could it not be? I mean, the back-to-back plays in the first quarter that we've mentioned, the 40-yarder to Keenan Allen, 30-yarder to Swift, which was just sweet looking, throwing off balance, going down. And we've seen him make similar plays to that, not as grand as the Swift play, but it's a thing of beauty, and there's a legitimacy to it. And Dan, look, we've been talking about that since training camp. We Caleb struggled in training camp a lot of the time, but there was always those one or two plays that he would make that all of us would be like, oh yeah, I get what the hype is about with Caleb Williams for sure.
For those watching on YouTube, hold on, because I got to move.
What happened?
I'm in the Ellis Hall media room. I got to move to set the lights back on. Hold
all right,
on.
No, you're all good, man. Yeah, I mean, like when you start to hear like real testimony, you're already back. I thought I was taking over. I mean, I abandoned you the other day, so I thought maybe you were abandoning me for a while.
I mean, what about the symbolism of us being in the on the bright side category of the QB1 review and the lights going out on me? This is what we do.
As long as the vacuum cleaners don't turn on behind you or the cleaning folks, the very fine. I have gotten to know the cleaning folks there because you and I are typically two of the people there that are
Grinders.
There latest. Yeah. So they're always great people, but you don't want the vacuums going while we're doing it. Let's get to the big number, Danny boy.
All right. Since you brought up vacuums, watch this. I'm going to take a finger swipe here. This layer of dust is on a 7-year-old rookie passing record here in Chicago. It was Mitch Trubisky's rookie passing yards record for the Chicago Bears franchise. It was broken on Sunday by Caleb Williams, 2,356. It's a new Bears rookie passing record.
Yeah.
It's going to grow as the rest of the season goes on. I believe his 11 touchdown passes ties the rookie mark for Bears quarterbacks here. Low bars to clear here, Mark, but they're cleared, and Caleb Williams presses on.
Oh, all right. Great stuff. Great stuff on the QB. And hey, yeah, I mean, it's been, and there is still plenty of season to go. It has been a wild ride with Caleb Williams. And I'm not saying that the Bears have an elite quarterback yet, but signs point towards a really good quarterback for the Bears. So great stuff there. Let's get to our 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
Dan, one thing I want to throw out there to you, a couple things here. I'm looking at my, oh yeah, here we go. I was looking at some of the comments on YouTube, and thanks everybody for, we love the feedback. I love it when you guys play along with us. And I just want to throw this out there. Somebody said it was Domino 8820. Thanks for listening, watching. Dom actually watching, because this was, I took these off of YouTube, says, I'm at the point where, as long as Caleb continues to progress and play well, I could care less about winning. Fair? I mean, that's about where, that's where the Bears are. And they probably were there last week after the loss to Green Bay. They were probably there. But if that didn't clinch it, this clinches it, that this season right now has been and will continue, has been, unfortunately, because it should have been about winning, but will continue to be about the quarterback and the quarterback only.
Good adverb choice there, unfortunately, because now I think we revert into a sort of prototypical rookie season for a quarterback drafted in the top five, playing on a last place football team where now his performance and his growth and his flashes mean more than the team's performance on a week in, week out basis. It's a shame because, like I said, this football team had a chance to be in the playoff picture through the week 18 finish line, and they just torpedoed themselves over the last 5 weeks, absolutely torpedoed themselves with their lack of execution, their lack of focus, their lack of concentration in big moments, their lack of an ability to meet their moments. And so now we just kind of shift the target a little bit for what we're evaluating the rest of the season on. We know there's going to be a new coach in here, I think, presumably, by the time that the Bears report back to OTAs next spring. And so now it's about Caleb just making the most down the stretch of his rookie season, alongside a bunch of core playmakers. We said DJ Moore is going to be here for five more years. Yeah. Roma Dunze is going to be here for a while. Yeah. Cole Kmet's going to be here for a while. There's guys here that you need to grow with. So it's not all about you, but you know that's something that Caleb's got to keep his focus on.
Let's slip in a little stadium talk here, Dan. There's an article in your newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, by Jeremy Gornner
and Robert McCoppin.
Gornner, yes. Yep. I actually met Jeremy at a party a couple of weeks ago. Great dude. Chicagoan. Grinder. This a good dude, even though I botched his name. But the Bears said today that the team has, per the Tribune, has reached an agreement over property taxes for their Arlington Heights land, which had supposedly been holding the Bears back from potentially building a new stadium there. But, Dan, the Bears remain focused on the lakefront. What do you make of this article in the long form?
Yeah, so you've got an agreement to a memorandum of understanding about the taxes on the property to be paid at Arlington International Racecourse. It feels like momentum that pushes the suburb stadium project back toward the front burner. The Bears have been adamant that they're trying to do something south of Soldier Field. Haven't gotten any momentum started with that since that grand presentation in April. They have recently talked about going over to the old Michael Reese Hospital site in Bronzeville. That was a site they had previously rejected and all of a sudden brought that back on the front burner recently. It feels like Arlington Heights is getting back into the mix in this thing. Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes seemed very optimistic in the story that we referenced and encouraged about the spring of 2025 presenting a possible breakthrough in terms of the tax logistics and the financial ramifications of the Bears possibly using that 326 acres of land in Arlington Heights to build a stadium for the Bears. We'll see where this all goes. It's always fluid. Kevin Warren has been adamant that there will be a shovel in the ground somewhere in the calendar year of 2025. If this does give the suburbs and those three school districts in Arlington Heights and Palatine some peace of mind, and the Bears peace of mind that they can reopen negotiations on what can happen there. We'll see where it goes. Listen, you know as well as I do, the public funding aspect of this thing and who pays for all of this is going to be a question that needs answers and still hasn't gotten any. A lot to sort through on that end, but this seems like a significant enough development to start talking about that racetrack land as a possibility again.
Yeah, we're on the same page with this. I mean, I think this is not the last thing, but this is not what Kevin Warren wanted to do. I do believe that he is being honest and wanting to build on the lakefront, and he's obviously still saying that, but he realized he's got to cover his ass at this point, and he's got to this could have been taken care of a long time ago. And now they've come to that agreement. So we'll see. I don't know if this nudges or does anything for the downtown project, but I do think that this is a step. I agree with you, a step towards probably playing in Arlington Heights.
The quicker that the Bears get inside an indoor stadium, the quicker their kicker can kick balls higher, so he doesn't have to cut through the wind with a low trajectory. If you want to bring this all full circle, we can bring it full circle here whenever you want. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. You can target 2028 for the first game we covered in Arlington Heights. I'll kind of circle it and save the date, and we'll see how fluid this whole thing is.
I got a couple more things. Dan, first of all, a genuine congratulations to you. Dan Wiederer is a finalist for the Illinois Sports Writers Association Award. Did I say the award right?
I think it's the National Sports Media Association's Illinois Sports Writer of the Year.
Okay. But no, it's a very cool honor. Dan is one of just a handful of writers who is in the mix for this. So you deserve it. You're a terrific writer. And so I'm rooting for you, man. I hope you get a congratulations on that.
I appreciate that. Shout out to my fellow Tribsters, Paul Sullivan and Brad Biggs, also up for that honor, as well as Bears beat writer Courtney Cronin for ESPN. The reigning winner in this category is our good friend Kevin Fishbane.
Yes.
And so I sort of picture, Kevin having to get the blazer like the Masters winner does and have to put it on the new winner. So if he's got to put the blazer on Big Z sometime over the summer, whatever it looks like, I kind of want to see the photographs of Kevin trying to navigate the hand-me-down there.
Morning, boys. I got a blazer. Beautiful. And then one other thing, Dan, and if you got other stuff too, Dan, certainly. But I had one other comment from YouTube, and this goes to you, Dan, because we're talking about this. We're the same age, Dan. I was 7 in 1984, and that was the first MLB season/playoffs I watched as a kid. Heartbreaking for sure, especially the memory of Steve Garvey. Ugh, even hearing the name Steve Garvey gives me we didn't mention his name the other day. Ah.
Is the Leon Durham jokes in grade school was the first time I was like introduced to jokes that were like a little bit like, oh man, you know, like
not funny.
Yeah,
not
the
funny.
Train went through his legs. You remember that one? You know, that's what we dealt with. So good correction there. And I will tell my son that you know he's got years of scars ahead of him. Oh, I got one more footnote for you. The Bears going to play the Lions at Ford Field in Brad Biggs's 10 thoughts. Coming out of the Vikings game on Sunday, he aptly noted that the Bears haven't run a fake punt since 2020. Those who sit near us in the press box at Soldier Field and all around the NFL realize that on every single time the Bears punt, Brad calls for a fake, and 99.999% of the time.
That's the kind of thing that'll get you an award, by the way, Dan.
He's left disappointed. He's bringing it up this week because Dan Campbell is notorious and renowned. He's renowned. I used notorious wrong. The fake punt. I believe that the Lions have run 12 successful fake punts since the last time the Bears even attempted
a fake punt.
So wrap your brains around that and have fun with that. Just understand that, like, when you're sitting watching your TV at home, if the Bears line up for a punt, say to the person next to you, good opportunity for a fake here in the Big Z voice. And then if it's like 4th and 16, then say element of surprise would be big here. And then you're living the life that I'm living up in the press box. And shout out to Brad for doing the research on that. Some good notes in his 10 thoughts column this week.
That's another whole thing. The little groupings, the little cliques that we all have in the press box on Sundays, because we're always next to the same people, generally year in and year out, and you create your own little community and you have your own little inside jokes in your little club. I did not know about the big stuff though. I might have to vote for him for this award. I don't know after all that. That's amazing. Well, I guess in the words of Samuel L. Jackson in Jurassic Park, folks, hold on to your butts because there is a lot of drama to come this season, whether on the field or off of the field. So that's the way it's going down. Thanks to everybody for listening and watching. As obviously, as you can see, I do read the comments, and I appreciate all of you guys playing along with us here on Take the North. So for Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and frequent score contributor, for our fine producer, Adam Studzinski, thank you, Studs, for what you do. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. My name is Mark Grody, and this is Take the North.
Holding on to my butt. Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.